Ram Hill Road at Highway 9. And CHP's on the way to check it out. So that's what I got. 475-1080 if you have anything to report to me. The official time is 10:06 and 6 seconds on this Saturday, October 29th. Up next, we've got the Saturday Special. Stay tuned. KOCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Oh, hello. This is Bozo the Clown from KSCO North. No, it's only MZ. I'm just sort of being silly today. Welcome to the Saturday Special. We're going to be on the air for the next couple hours. We're going to have a lot of fun today. But actually, fun, I don't know, is the right word. I don't know. Just stay tuned and see what happens.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
No, 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 no. Nikki James. It's the crossfire, not the special fanfare. Because we expect... Yeah! Now you're talking. And Richard B. Luther II, I have nothing, zero in the return. I have zero in the return here. Now, here we are.
Can't hear me.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to monitor the other way here. I don't hear anything in the return. So it looks like we're starting to get callers already, and I haven't even introduced the guest. We got a little taste of the guest yesterday on Corey Gold's program, and his name is the whistleblower.
Good morning. And I'd like to just make a statement. In fairness, I don't really consider myself a whistleblower. I'm really more of a whistle amplifier. The whistles are going off all around us, and I'm a synthesizer of, I would say, vast amounts of information. I'm going to share some of it with you because I think that it's critical that the whistle be amplified because nobody seems to be listening or paying attention. In the last month, I've heard a lot of people jumping up and down about Bank of America charging a $5 fee for using an ATM. But as it turns out, that's the most honest thing they've done in years. Simply alert people that they need to charge an extra fee and deal with the repercussions of a few unhappy campers pulling out of Bank of America over a $5 fee. But while they've got people talking about that, we've all been raped in the night, and I'm going to explain this. This all has to do with something called derivatives or credit default swaps. And I'm going to quote Warren Buffett, who described, I'm quoting here, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction. And as he testified before Congress in March of this year, he's warned that there are trillions in derivatives held by the major banking institutions that could be disruptive to the whole financial system and that the risks were virtually unmanageable. That was in March. Now, about 11 days ago, what in fact has happened, and this has now been widely reported. You can find this on Bloomberg. You can find this in the San Francisco Chronicle. I know Corey didn't believe a word I said, but I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not making the news. I'm reading the news. The New York Post has got an article on this. So basically what has happened is Merrill Lynch has shifted, and the numbers seem to be, depending on the publication, there's some variance there, but the variance seems to be between $22 trillion and $55 trillion dollars in derivatives, which are essentially insurance policies against mortgage.
And the debt is only $14 trillion. That's a lot of money. So that's where I think Corey was a little incredulous yesterday.
Well, he should be incredulous. What happens is these are insurance policies against pools of mortgages going bad. And what happened during the height of this market, it would be as if you had $1 million house, and so you got $1 million insurance policy on your house. If your house burns down, you get $1 million. But then all five of your neighbors, or in this case more like seven of your neighbors, insured your house as well, so that when your $1 million house burned down, $7 million worth of insurance policies were triggered. So a 14, the entire...
Double, triple, quadruple,
more
quintuple.
Like seven, more like seven.
Septuple dipping is what you're talking about.
Yes, so basically what that means, we have about, if you added up every mortgage in the U.S., you'd have about $14 trillion, and those have been insured out to the tune of about $75 trillion. So I'm going to quote to you from the New York Post, where it says here in an article that came out on the 21st, called Sleight of Hand, B of A, for those of you that want to Google it. Google New York Post, Sleight of Hand. And it says, a plan by beleaguered Bank of America to foist trillions, with a T like Thomas, trillions of dollars of funky Merrill Lynch derivatives into its depositors is raising eyebrows on Wall Street. The rarely used move will likely save the bank millions of dollars in collateral, but could put depositors' cash behind the eight ball. That's one quote, and I can go on. But ultimately, what they have done is put the risk of these financial weapons of mass destruction, they've taken it out of Merrill Lynch. They've put it into Bank of America. And the reason they did that is they are now allowed, as these insurance policies come due, when enough people default in a given block of mortgages, those bonds become worthless. And when those bonds become worthless, those derivatives, CDOs / insurance policies have to get paid. Now they're going to be able to pay those using depositor money out of Bank of America. And guess what? There's not enough money to cover that. So they've effectively, they're forcing the FDIC to cover those bad bets. So this is the biggest bailout of all time. Chase Bank has done the same thing. And it's a travesty, and it's going to be devastating.
And you don't understand why this isn't much bigger news.
Oh, I know exactly why it's bigger news, not bigger news. If they had referred to it as a bailout without the permission of the people, you'd see the Occupy Wall Street movement grow tenfold overnight. But you call it a transfer of derivatives from Merrill Lynch to Bank of America, and most people are asleep before you finish the sentence. Well, that's a derivative. What does that mean? How does that relate to me? People don't understand what that means. So I'm here to tell you, they have just transferred a huge 20 to 50, it's depending on which paper you read, $20 to $50 trillion worth of derivatives into Bank of America. And this is going to, it's a backdoor bailout.
You say it's 20 to 50 trillion dollars.
Depending on which source you read. Again, you can find this in the San Francisco Business Times.
So no one really knows, and does anyone really know if, I mean...
What
if it's only a few billion dollars?
Well,
nobody's
talking billion. We're talking trillion. That's clear. The problem is so profound that apparently nobody knows the exact number of trillions. There's a lot of secrecy and lack of transparency around this. The problem is not in the billions. The problem is absolutely in the trillions.
So the reason you're here, whistleblower, and you called me this week and you were all wound up about this, and said, this needs to get out on the radio, and I know you have a radio station that a lot of people listen to, so let's do it. And I said, yes, you're right, let's do it. What is it that you hope to achieve today? Suppose the entire KSCO audience encompassed the world and everybody, the whole country, and it was the biggest medium there is. It's not, I wish it was, but it's not. But suppose it was. All right, what are you urging people to do with this knowledge? Take all their money out of Bank of America?
Bank of America, yeah. Chase, Wells Fargo, Citibank. I think that people need to return to community banking. I bank with a small bank that has about 50 branches. If they do something reckless and, they're not going to have the ear of Congress and the Senate. They don't run the Senate. They don't run the Congress. Like Speaker Boehner recently said, the banks do. The banks run the place. That's a quote.
All right.
So if they do something irresponsible, they're going to go out of business. If Bank of America does something irresponsible, they're going to make all the money on the way up in the bubble. And when things collapse, they can count on the lawmakers to make sure they get bailed out on the way down.
Perhaps I was in error by asking Nikki to play the Crossfire music, which is controversial. Because what you've just said is not controversial. Whether or not this is as big a story as you think it is, and it's probably bigger, that's very good advice, in my opinion, to do. Everything should get back to local and smaller and things that can be controlled.
Too big to fail needs to be brought down. It's not going to happen by the government. It's going to have to happen by the people. And I'm here to tell you, I've begun joining the Occupy Wall Street movement. I've been meaning to do it since the beginning of the movement and intended to go out last week. And as it turned out, within probably 48 hours of when I was sure I was going to be out there, a young Iraqi veteran, two tours in Iraq, was shot while assembling peaceably, and this is all on video. You can see it on YouTube. Scott Olson, two-time Iraqi war vet. He is still in the hospital. He has a brain injury that's affected.
Now, I haven't had time to check any of this out. I believe what you're saying. However, after you were on with Corey Gold yesterday,
yeah,
and finished, you had to go to some business thing, so you had to drop off earlier than you would have liked. But a lot of callers called in, and one of the callers said that's not true. There was no one that was shot with rubber bullets or anything like that. It was some sort of a can of some.
I'm so glad we could have that come up now, Michael. I want to show you something in my back pocket. Do you see those?
Let me see.
These are rubber bullets, my friend. They were all over the street, hundreds and hundreds of these. I saw the young man.
This looks like this is deer defecation.
Press hard on it. Deer defecation.
These are deer pellets.
These are not deer pellets. This is serious.
Okay.
So
all right.
I saw the young man one of the people who was shot with that, who had a terrible bruise on his side. He's the young man. Look, just look, Google Scott, or go to YouTube and Google the name Scott Olson, you will undoubtedly see video. This is good. Tune into Democracy Now. They're covering this story. But basically, videos show a line of peaceful protesters, and the police shot a projectile.
What Olson? What's the name?
Scott. S-C-O-T-T-O-S-E-N. Scott
Olson. Oh, my gosh. It did just a bunch of them came right. It finished filling it out for me. Scott Olson, spelled S-E-N. Then Scott Olson, Oakland. Scott Olson, condition. Oh, my gosh.
This is not a matter for debate.
Okay, Scott Olson's condition improving. Injured Occupy activist and 24-year-old war veteran up now and breathing on his own. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, but he's still having trouble speaking. He was unconscious for several days.
Yeah, 24-year-old Iraq war. This is from the Huffington Post. A 24-year-old Iraq war veteran and Occupy activist suffering from a head injury after being hit with a police projectile in Oakland has had his condition upgraded to fair. Upgraded to fair. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it wasn't clear if he was going to live or die for a couple days. But when I found out they're shooting people with rubber bullets and projectiles in the street, that was it for me. I was already planning to go out. I was already with the Occupy movement. But if we tolerate our government shooting people with rubber bullets, it's going to look like Libya before you know it. The lead will be flying. So what happened the day after they shot this young man is people didn't go away. People came out. I'm talking about I was out there with people from the age of 5 to 85 of all walks of life. People don't want to tolerate that. We're not going. We are. The Constitution allows us the opportunity to peaceably assemble and address our grievances. And that is exactly what was going on. And there's video. When people went to pick Scott Olson, who was lying, bleeding from the eyes and the nose and the forehead in the street, they went to pick him up, and the same guy that shot him in the head threw a flash grenade in there and exploded in the middle of a group of people that were trying to take him away. And then another young man that was trying to help him was shot with a rubber bullet. And I saw the man, okay? He had a bruise about the size of a grapefruit in diameter with an obvious... When you see those bullets I handed you, Mike, yeah. It was so obvious that something of that nature caused the wound because you could see the point on his bruise exactly where it hit. I mean, it was just obvious that it was a rubber bullet, and he said it was a rubber bullet. It's on video, so this is not a matter for debate.
Well, is this like a shotgun instead of shot, yeah. Lead shot? It has a bunch of these little
rubber bullets.
They look like small petite peas, you know.
Yeah, like a little small pea, although about 20% of them appear to be about three times that size. So there's some that are
the
size of a small
grape. Oh, really? Okay, because the ones that you handed me, they're all the same size. They're about half the size of a normal pea.
Well, I didn't grab one of those up off the ground, but there's that about 80 or 90% of them are that size, and then there's a few big ones.
Well, this sounds to me eerily like 1969, the People's Park crisis at UC Berkeley. I was a student then. I had just transferred from UC Santa Cruz to UC Berkeley just in time to get to all the student Vietnam War protests that were going on. James Rector was someone who was not injured. He was killed by the, it wasn't the Alameda County Sheriff's Department. It was by a National Guardsman, as I recall.
Yeah, I think he has a street named after him.
Possibly. So, we're talking with the whistleblower, and it's your favorite radio station, AM 80 KSCO, 1022, 1023 now, actually, October 29th, Saturday. We're talking about what is going on with your country here and why you should become more alarmed than you already are, and I'm sure most of us are quite alarmed already. I received this call from the whistleblower, who is a friend of mine up here in KSCO North, and to tell me about this. And he said, you know, this really should go out on the air. So I said, let's do it. We don't have a Saturday special topic anyhow this week, so let's do it. If you want to join in, have any questions or comment, I'm interested in reaction from the audience. We're going to open the phone lines anytime now at 479-1080.
You know,
that's in area 831. If you want to send a email, you can send it to mz@ksco.com. Go ahead, whistleblower. What?
So I was just going to just describe a little bit of what I've seen since I've gone down to join in solidarity with the people in Occupy Wall Street. And one of the things I saw that was so beautiful to me, just touched me to my core, was to see several thousand people gathered together and then break up into groups of 20 to vote on a given issue, and then that tally would be handed to a leader, and it was literally democracy of the people, by the people, formed in the street. It's almost like after 200 years, it's just become part of our collective unconscious or our collective conscience, and it's in our blood. But to see what could have been a mass of angry, mobbing people just peaceably dividing up and creating little groups to create a democracy in the streets. It was totally peaceful. It was beautiful. And they voted to have us. The Teamsters came down. The nurses came down. This is after, I'm sure all these people were seething anyway. But when they saw that young Iraqi veteran get shot down in the street while he's standing there peacefully protesting, that was just too much for so many of us. And to see people break out into this democratic environment and decide to strike together, there's going to be a student walkout. The Teamsters are going to try to shut down the port of Oakland. So it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see which is really contrary to what we have. Right now, what we have is a government by the corporations, for the corporations, and it seems to be, they run the place. The military-industrial complex, the banking-industrial complex, the media-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex. That's who runs the country. And you want to talk about take that back? We need to take that back.
How do you think we can do that?
I think that we are. That I have come to the conclusion that it's not possible to do that through the normal channels anymore. That it's going to require a movement like Occupy.
You believe that that movement can be a peaceful movement.
I believe that it absolutely should be and could be, should be.
Well,
I pray that it stays that way.
How many more of these shootings, with rubber bullets or otherwise, do you think there needs to be before people will no longer be peaceful?
I hope that can't answer that question. I can tell you that the night after Scott was shot, they were chanting in New York. They were chanting, "We are Oakland. Oakland is New York." So they're with us. People all around the country saw what happened, and they're not going to take that. We're not going away because of a couple rubber bullets, and God forbid if they want to come out with the lead, we're not going away then either. So I don't think it's going to get to that, but I think that people are going to that the more they do that, the more that was a galvanizing moment when people saw what happened to Scott in the street. This is on video. This is not an if this happened. This happened. Go on YouTube. Find it yourself.
Yeah. Okay. You're listening to the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO MZ with the whistleblower here from KSCO North. We'd like to hear from you. 831-479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to participate in the Saturday Special. Let's go ahead and take our first caller, none other than Richard N. Watsonville. Hey, Richard N. Watsonville, you're on the air.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for having this guest.
He's a good guest, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, whistleblower?
Yeah.
Yeah, was that Marine? Was he a combat vet?
You know, I don't know his history. All I know is he was in I don't know if he was a cook or a combat vet, but he was part of the Veterans for Peace movement.
Veterans for Peace.
Yes. There's a contingent of veterans.
Hey, listen, man, it sounds to me like he's the new Brian Wilson. Remember Brian?
Yeah, he was at the radio station. We had him on the Saturday.
That's right. That's
yeah, the
right.
guy who sat down in front of the the choo-choo train to protest, and the choo-choo train ran over him and cut off his legs.
Right.
I heard whistleblower here talking to Craig. You sound like you're a vet. Are you a vet?
Veteran of 45 years on planet Earth, but I've not had to be a part of any war. By the way, Brian Wilson did an incredible interview. I just want to throw this out there a couple nights ago on Democracy Now, where he described his job during Vietnam was to go into some of these villages after some of the bombing and napalm campaigns and just document the results of the bombs. Because, you know, the military-industrial complex, they make all these weapons. They like to know. Someone's got to actually go in there and tell you how are they working. And he was seeing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, civilians, mostly children, he said, killed. And he said he had an epiphany. He went from being a soldier that followed every order, and suddenly, in one of these villages watching this carnage, he suddenly had an epiphany, and he realized that all these Vietnamese people, these men, women, and children he was seeing, were his family.
So what?
Well, it suddenly occurred to him he couldn't participate in following orders if that meant killing all of them.
But he did.
Well,
he not only did what he was told, he survived it, and he came back here, and then he got his legs. I guess he got underneath the train and had him cut off his legs. Now, that, to me, is not very smart. The war is the ultimate protest or demonstration. And I'm sorry you don't see it.
You're a pro-war guy, then? Is that what I'm hearing here?
I know that the military-industrial complex does not make weapons. It tests weapons for weapons makers. I suggest somebody like you get a football helmet, man, and a visor, maybe a Hansbury unit, shoulder pads, maybe wrist pads, elbow pads.
Wait a minute. What are you saying, Richard?
A baseball bat and garbage can lids. Because that's what you're talking about. You got a handful of rubber bullets there.
Yeah.
And you won't have that problem if you wear that equipment I just described to
you. So you're just suggesting just arm up when I face the Oakland police. Or at least pad up.
A garbage can lid is better than, and a baseball bat is better than the little plastic shields and the little baton.
Well, let's put it this way. When I went out to Oakland, Occupy Oakland, I was fully prepared to take a rubber bullet. As a father of two, I was hoping to God I didn't have to be prepared to take a lead bullet, but I knew I was ready to take a rubber bullet. But thankfully, if enough people come out, it seemed that the police backed off.
So you even see a difference between the lead and the rubber.
Well, I see that
you're not ready for it when the rubber meets the road, huh?
When if we don't stop this when they're shooting the rubber bullets, I think the lead could follow.
I think they were throwing M80s at you too, weren't they?
Well, there was some kind of flash grenades. I wasn't there that night. I came the next night when the police backed off. And
I heard Bully Sunshine call up and say that. After they got a picture of this young Marine guy getting hit in the head, and then people went to his rescue or to his aid, and the cops started shooting them.
That's true. That's exactly what happened.
Well, I'm not hearing that out of you, man.
I just said that. You missed that, my friend.
No. I'm talking about this stuff that's going on, and you guys are not repelling back and doing anything. Instead,
In other words, you're pissed off enough that you think instead of carrying him away, we should have rushed and attacked the police.
Well,
you're pissed
don't
off.
Don't you think the police got backup? Where's your backup?
Well, we had about 5,000 people the day I was there.
Well, they didn't have 5,000. They only need 500 weapons, and they're good.
I'm hearing that you're mad as hell, but I want to refer you to Gandhi.
Gandhi, do you know what that word means?
What does the word Gandhi mean? What does it mean, Richard N. Watson?
It means grocer. Now, anybody with the food, I'm going to follow, man. Okay, that takes care of Gandhi. Let's get back to this riot.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling, Richard.
Thanks for calling.
Our next caller is Alan on the road. Alan on the road. Welcome to KFC.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, you know, we were hearing about a year and a half ago that the idea behind getting rid of Glass-Steagall in the first place was to get rid of some of the debt from the brokerage firms to slide over the banking industry, as well as be able to have the banking industry leverage their assets with depositors to go out and be able to buy securities and bonds, things like that. We need to get back to Glass-Steagall, folks. We need to get rid of Barney Frank and all the guys in the Congress that keep supporting these clowns. It really depends on how we vote this time. And, you know, I don't believe
go ahead. I'm sorry.
One other quick one. You know, you're looking at rubber bullets, and you're looking at tear gas and flash, which the police are using right now to disperse because they're not lethal. In this case, they may have been lethal because of the way it was used, but they were designed initially to be non-lethal. If they would rather face lethal instead of this, you know, you
no,
guys
no, no, no.
Really
nobody's saying that. No, what I'm.
Exactly.
Nobody's saying that. But let me tell you something.
Exactly.
If you take a rubber bullet to the eye, my friend,
they should be facing water cannons.
Whoa. Hang on. What about our right to peaceably assemble without being blasted with water cannons and tear gas? If we're standing there peaceably.
What's the difference between you guys and a Tea Party? You guys have had nothing but problems. You look at the Tea Party, who can assemble millions of people out in front of the Washington Monument and leave it spotless, versus you guys to go out and defecate on police cars? Give me a break.
Defecate on police cars? What? I missed that story. I mean, if there's one freak out there defecating on police cars, I mean, it does have a humorous element to it, but I haven't heard about that one. That's not the statement anyone I met was trying to make.
Alan on the road, I want to ask you a question. Wait, don't go away.
Yes.
I want to ask a question. Do you agree with whistleblowers' assertion that we should that it would be a smart thing for all of us to deal with local banks, money out of the big banks?
Most definitely.
Okay.
I agree with that 100%. He's very correct on that.
And whoever you vote for, my friend, if you think who you vote for is going to accomplish this goal for you, get real. You need to vote with your feet. That's what's going to make the difference. Tell everybody you know to pull out of Bank of America, Citibank, Chase, Wells Fargo. Bring them down. If we can pull out 10 or 15% of the depositor money, they're completely insolvent. That's all it will require. And then we're back to community banking.
Money into the smaller banks.
It's sort of like locally owned and operated media, such as KSCO. You see, I think it's sort of part of the same idea.
I would agree with that too. But if you guys pull out the big banks, you better have a game plan to fix it because the whole system's coming down. What are you going to do then?
Well, guess what? With what they've just pulled off, we're on the verge of system collapse anyway. I mean,
you better figure out a better way for a soft landing, Dave, or you better have a huge food supply to go along with your bullet.
Well, my friend, I take care of my family. I do have a huge food supply, and I'm ready for just about anything, my friend. And I think God only knows it's coming in the next couple of years because we're not at the midway in this crisis. This crisis is profound.
Would you agree that this president has accentuated the problem by the spending with his powered pivot project that he's been promoting?
With his what project?
Pivot and Cloward, I think it's called Cloward or Pivot, and the way that they've spent this country in the last 4 years with what he's doing and choking off our businesses at this point in time, choking off our employment.
Do you
believe that Barack Obama has done everything that he could to help ruin this country?
Let me tell you what I think about that.
Oh,
I voted for him. I got misty while he was talking, okay, when he was on his acceptance speech on Inauguration Day. I was crying, okay? That's how touched I was. But I have never – let's put it this way. I was prepared for disappointment with Bush. I don't like disappointment, but as disappointment after disappointment was heaped upon me, it's easier to take when you're prepared for it. But with Barack Obama, I was so filled with hope and yes, we can, that the come down has been so...
You were delusional,
brother. Well, no, I had hope, baby. I had hope.
People across the country in 2008, spring of 2008, and I'm going to tell you something. I deal with a client base of over 1,600 contractors across the country. And the product that I had sells a rental piece of equipment to contractors. And when, as soon as media was responsible for putting McCain in as the nominee for Republicans, and it was evident that all the Republican candidates had backed off to let Obama come in, these guys ran for cover. This spring, before the election, this happened. These guys, at that point in time, that we're buckling down the hatches. Companies with three generations of contractors in their family, three generations in a contracting family, said, we're battening down the hatches. We're going to take and close our doors and only maintain about 15% of our office staff, which is our family. And the rest of it is going to get shut down, closed up, and preserved, so hopefully we can weather this storm. And if you didn't see that back then, like a bunch of other people saw it back then, you were kind of listening to the wrong thing.
Well, the problem is, my friend, what Obama has convinced me of more than anything at this point is the sad fact is that it really doesn't matter at this point in history whether you vote for a Democrat or a Republican. As it turns out, Obama's pushed the Bush agenda further forward than Bush ever could have dreamed. Let me give you a couple of examples.
Well, it wasn't Bush's agenda. It's a more of a liberal agenda.
Well, hang on. No, this is now. This is a. It's more like a fascist agenda. Let me finish.
Don't label me as a Bush lover because I'll tell you, I was not a Bush lover.
Fair enough. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to label you as anything.
And I would agree that most of the things that came through from started with Bush when he allowed. He was thinking, okay, in November, I will allow the new president to step forward early with his goals because he's already fought for 8 years. We were going into a recession when Bush got in. Do you remember the talk about Kerry and the talk about Bush? And they were all saying at the time, who the heck would want to be president going into an economy like this?
Oh, it was a train wreck when he walked in. But let me give you a couple of quick examples. You know, I was up in arms when Bush really pushed forward the whole idea of finding undesirables and without trial, throwing them away in Guantanamo and other prisons around the world. Locking them up and throwing away the key without any due process. That's contrary to everything I understand about what we as a country hold dear in the Constitution. Now,
well, you can't take a militant in a time of war, if indeed it was a war, which I fear it was done wrongly. But in the case of war, would you rather have them tried in our courts, clogging up our court systems, allowing non-citizens to have the same rights we do as citizens?
No, no, you're not hearing me, my friend. Okay, you need to let me talk for a minute. So I'm talking about locking up American citizens that are considered undesirable and without trial, without court case, just throw them in jail and lock away the key. That was the Bush agenda. Now, what Obama has done is he's escalated that to the next level. He has now.
I don't think you can demonstrate what that's happened beyond maybe a few mistakes.
Let me tell you what's happened in the last month. Obama's pushed that agenda to the next level. Instead of locking him up and throwing away the key, he has taken out a father and a son, American citizens. He killed Awolaki, who he says is a very bad man, but he is an American citizen. He killed him with a Predator drone. And this is after a year of the guy's father trying to sue Obama to get an injunction to stop him from killing his son because it was made clear that that was the intent. Now, he dropped the case. Let me finish.
Name the people.
Awolaki. Awolaki. Oh, this is not a matter for debate. Obama's been on record and discussed it. So he killed Awolaki because he felt he was a Muslim cleric who was spouting off bad things and he was part of Al-Qaeda. Okay, so his little team says, this is an American citizen who they killed with a Predator drone. You know what they did 2 weeks ago? They killed the man's son. They've killed now the guy that was suing to save his son has now lost a son and a grandson. Now, the U.S. said that the grandson was 21. Well, the family over in Colorado has just published his birth certificate. They just killed a 16-year-old boy. A small group of men convene and decide you're a bad man, and even though you're an American citizen, they don't throw you into Guantanamo like they did under Bush. Now they're going to kill you with a Predator drone. And by the way, there are 50 countries now working feverishly to get these drones up in the air. How are we going to look down our nose at Russia and China when they start killing people that are dissidents and don't toe the party line? They're going to be killing them from afar with Predator drones, and we've just lost all moral authority because we've escalated this war on terrorism or on the boogeyman to the point where we don't throw them in Guantanamo. We're just going to kill them with a drone.
Now, I'm going to bring Alan on the road back on here. He's been on hold here. But before I do that, I want to ask you one question. So what you're saying is that you are very disappointed as a Obama supporter.
Obama was, voter, yes, he was talking.
You're very disappointed. You're the first person that I've met who I assume will not be voting for Obama next in 2012.
I don't see how I could. He got on there on the platform. He was going to close down Guantanamo because putting American citizens in jail without right to due process in a trial is wrong.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, he's just killing them with drones.
I just found the very first person. Everybody I know in the world, maybe it's just the people I hang with. Who voted for Obama is like crazed. They're going to vote for Obama even more next time around.
Well, that's not the crowd I hang out with. The people I'm talking to are very disillusioned. They don't want to see Predator drones killing people. Once you cede the power to the government to just simply determine that this person or that person is a bad person, so we're going to go ahead and kill them without any due process, and you can kill your own citizens at will, that is a very, very, that does not bode well.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now let me bring Alan on the road back on here. Go ahead, Alan. On the road.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I would agree that a lot of the people that I've been in contact with who voted for Obama the last time are certainly not going to vote for him this time because they've realized that his hope and change. Yeah, I'm serious.
I'm delighted to hear that. Other people have said that to me. I just haven't found anybody except the whistleblower.
Well, he's right.
15 people. Yeah. About 15% of the people that I know are adamant supporters who are blinded by what's going on. The rest of the people who
all the people I know who voted for Obama think he's Jesus Christ himself who can walk on water.
Well, it's kind of religious with them, and they have to fight. They're fighting a losing battle, and they just don't want to admit the fact.
I think he's
going to
be reelected. I really do. I think he's going
to
be reelected.
But what's more important is that I think we need to recognize that I've come to the conclusion it doesn't matter if Obama can push this Bush agenda further. For instance, I just heard a Hispanic leader talking about how they've helped vote Obama in because he was promising to support their needs and interests, and well, he's turned on them. They're considering what he's doing to be far worse than what Bush ever could have done. So, furthermore, he's taken more money. Obama has taken more money from the Wall Street banks than all the other 9 candidates combined. Furthermore, let me say something else. He has been putting heavy pressure on several of the attorney general that are fighting against the banks because the banks have just screwed over all the homeowners, and this whole debacle is causing millions of foreclosures. It's cost homeowners, it's cost counties, it's cost states billions and probably into the trillions of dollars, and the attorney generals are trying to get a settlement, and what they're working on right now is the most sweetheart little slap on the hand you could ever imagine. And the two attorney generals, the daring to dissent and say no, this is not acceptable. This is barely even a slap on the hand. And the Obama administration has been placing heavy pressure on them.
Why don't you get those folks upset with Wall Street to focus their energies where it needs to go and protest at the White House? Get everybody back to Washington, D.C. and say, look, here's the problem. It's you. You know, the people that I talk to who are so upset with Obama are not going to vote for him because they've seen what's happened to jobs. They have seen what his regulations are doing for businesses who bring the jobs.
I'm happy you're saying that, Alan. I think that's great.
And they're realizing what's going on. And so that's what we're saying, Michael. The people are so upset right now, and most of the people that I've talked to are realizing that it was the biggest mistake America has made probably in our history. And, you know,
To vote in Obama?
Well, that's the biggest mistake in the last 4 years.
But no, they're deluded. It wouldn't have mattered whether it was Cain. I'm telling you, whether it was McCain,
well,
Obama,
Cain
we'd be facing the same problems right now. No, I'm telling you.
You sound like Alex Jones.
I guarantee you, I don't care if Obama's in there, Cain's in there, or Mitt Romney. 4 years from now, God willing, we'll be closer to the bottom, hopefully at the bottom of what's going to be a terrible, terrible time. It may be a lot further.
We're not going to be able to survive 4 more years.
Well,
I think you're going to see next year worse off than we are this year with one exception. There's no light at the end of this tunnel with the exception of one thing, guys, and that is there's billions of unspent TARP dollars that's going to get funneled back to the supporters of Obama's groups like the unions and union jobs. And then they're going to say, oh, look at us. How nice. We're probably starting to turn around here, and it's taken 4 years. And they're going to try to buy this election. That's part of it. That's my fear. But as you can tell, I'm on the road. But the other thing is that, you know, we've got people who are realizing what's going on here. It's not going to get better at all. For most people right now, there's no light at the end of this tunnel.
Let me tell you something.
If we don't hold every politician accountable, they need to go down the road. If you have a politician that's been there longer than 4 to 6 years, get rid of them. Hold them accountable.
The problem is, it's a revolving door. I'm telling you, the problems are so systemic.
No,
it's not about
true.
Whether we have a Democrat in or a Republican. Obama's convinced me of that. I mean, if he can...
You cannot tell me that the Tea Party candidates that went into the House this last go-around, and the senators went in this last go-around. I'm telling you, I met a lot of them. I was back in Washington, D.C. in June, and I'm going to tell you something. These guys are adamant about the conservative policies, about the Constitution, and what makes this country work. And those are the kind of people we need to get into office and turn their ship around.
Yeah, Reagan-esque people, huh?
What's that?
Reagan-esque people.
Yeah, well, you know, if, I've become a student of history, and I highly recommend everybody read the book by Howard Zinn, A People's History of America. Howard Zinn, Z-I-N-N. And you're going to find out that the struggles and the things and the issues that people are upset about right now, this is nothing new. These issues have been going on since the beginning of the country. The gross, unfair distribution of wealth in this country has driven strife really since its inception. And about 150 years ago, they came up with the brilliant idea, instead of having it be sort of was really becoming class warfare, with the poor being upset with the wealthy, if they could create a two-party system which would contain some rich and some wealthy, they could divert the energies of the people from having class struggle to simply making them think it would make a difference to whether they voted for a Republican or Democrat, when all the while...
Yeah, but you can defeat all of that regardless of the party. You can defeat all of that if you have civil liberties enforced, and the people stand up for civil liberties, like some of the things that's happening with the AWS. Now, I'll tell you something. You cannot do that. The class war, regardless which policy you're talking, which politics group you're talking to, it doesn't matter if you don't have civil liberties and the Constitution upheld.
Well, there we are. See, we have a lot in common, my friend. I couldn't agree more. And let me tell you something.
I'm happy.
The police do not have the right to shoot people with anything if they're peacefully assembled. That is, there's nowhere in the Constitution that says the people have the right to assemble peaceably, but after a couple hours, the police can come in and shoot them with rubber bullets and tear gas. It doesn't mention that.
Hey, you guys, we have a caller I want to get to right away. Dave in Santa
Cruz. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Alan on the road. Appreciate it. Dave in Santa Cruz is going to be next, but right after Brad Cava. Hey, Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, I got on the air. How nice.
You got on the air. I know you called before. That was a very good call from Alan on the road, so I wanted to let that go. And I can't wait to hear what Dave is going to talk about. But you, my friend, you kicked a hornet's nest on Wednesday on your show, at What's Left Show.
Like
and apparently, when you were coming on, you had an exchange with Corey Gold, and did you were talking about something about the only thing that people will understand, that the government will understand and the politicians will understand, is violence. And it sounded to me like you were advocating violence.
I was just saying that if that movement, the Occupy Wall Street movement, they will not be taken seriously, I think, until they take action. And the first actions they should take them out of the banks, right? Second, close down businesses. But if they're still laughed at and if the police are firing on them, they're going to have to go to arms.
Well, I think we can – I still believe we can go the route of Gandhi. Gandhi turned back the British British military and got India back for the people without any weapons. And I feel your anger. I'm as pissed off as you. But I'm hoping calmer heads will prevail. What I saw on the streets, this beautiful group of people of all ages, races, colors, standing in solidarity with people in New York, standing in solidarity with people in many, many hundreds of cities across the country, and just breaking up into democratic groups and trying to make decisions on what we need to do to change things. By the way, one of the action items that is being focused on by these people that occupy Wall Street is just that: return to community banking. Force the banks to close, because if we won't bank with them, guess what? There's nothing left for them if we pull our money out. So that movement is afoot, and I think it's a little early for a call to arms. I hope it's a little early.
I wasn't calling for it, but I'm telling you this. Until that's probably the only thing that's going to make the right wing take them seriously. The right wing is armed. The right wing has killed liberals throughout our history. And liberals haven't. They've sat there and gotten mowed down, as were the Indians with Gandhi. Plenty of Indians got killed by the British troops.
Well, that's
so,
true.
Did you just say the right wing have killed liberals throughout history?
Yes. Yes.
But that the reverse is not true because the liberals are peaceniks and they're unarmed and they don't engage in that.
Yes.
But what they do engage in is trying to censor people. Censor is a good word. Trying to if I don't agree with you, this is a liberal talking, okay? And I really truly believe not everybody, maybe not you, Brad, but most liberals that I know. If I don't agree with what you're saying, you do not have the right to breathe.
That's a gross distortion.
I think that's a distortion too. Same holds true of the right.
Yeah, and I get a lot of that. We've gotten a lot of that.
Let's not paint too broad of a brush.
We've gotten a lot of that at KSCO over the years.
But that doesn't mean somebody of a particular racial group mugged me, so therefore I can come to the conclusion that I should really watch out for that group because they're all muggers.
Yeah. Okay, no, it's not like that. Well, maybe it's like that. All right, but anyhow, we've gotten a lot of that, and I'm sensitive about that over the years, and that's why we're bending over backwards to have like the What's Left segment on the radio to say we always have been a voice for everyone on KSCO. I think what's happened in the last couple of years is that I've realized that that in order to be perceived as a true voice for everyone, you have to have hosts, not just encourage callers to call in, because callers are not on the same level with a host. The host has the the hang up button, I guess. So anyhow, that's fine. Well, Brad, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Hey, let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
So neither of you is in favor of Obama. Who are you going to vote for?
Boy, I am so disillusioned. Like I said, I've come to the conclusion. I'm voting with my feet, and my feet are with the Occupy Wall Street movement. We have got to change the system from the outside. If you think that who you vote for is going to make all the difference,
are you not going to vote then?
I literally am that disillusioned. I don't know. I might have to make either a protest vote if there's someone so far on the fringe. I don't even know anymore. All I know is that it's clear to me that that my only hope is that if enough Americans stand up with the Occupy Wall Street movement to make systemic change from the outside, we have to force the change. We cannot ask the politicians to break up these banks. We have to break up the banks. We cannot assume that any of our needs and grievances in terms of reducing the size of the prison industrial complex, we've got to figure out a way to do this from outside the system and force it on the politicians, because if you think who you vote for is going to make all the difference, I think you're just fantasizing.
I think you're right, whistleblower here, but there are two candidates that I could see myself possibly voting for. And they're both Reagan-esque in my the closest thing to being Reagan-esque. I think Reagan was the greatest president of all time. And if there was, I wish there was another Reagan. I wish there was another Reagan. But Ron Paul is close to being Reagan-esque, and so is Herman Cain. So it'll be interesting. So between those two, I will not vote. I will always vote, no matter what. But I can understand what you're saying. You're listening to the Saturday special here. I want to thank Brad Cava here for calling.
Okay.
And we want to put on Dave in Santa Cruz here. Dave, we'll hold you over because we have less than a minute before we go to CNN News. But start your call, please. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, I was gonna let Whistleblower know that the rubber bullets are inhumane. Remember after the World Series when Boston Red Sox finally won their World Series? The fans got a little rambunctious. They killed a young girl with rubber bullets in Boston. And, the police just need to rethink their tactics on crowd control.
I'm with you, baby. I'm not arguing that point. I hope you...
Hey, and then also, Whistleblower, you're about 10 years too late, man. People should have risen up in the streets and protested when Clinton's stormtroopers went in and took out Alien Gonzalez with the machine gun on a 6-year-old boy.
Hey, that you want us to hold you over there?
No, man, that's all I got, man. All right,
thank you for calling. Appreciate it. There goes Whistleblower. And this is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. We will be back in 6 minutes.
CNN Radio. I'm Stan Case. Forecasters are predicting power outages and downed trees in some areas of the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. An early season snowstorm has already dropped 7 inches of snow on parts of Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia. CNN meteorologist Chad Myers is traveling on an interstate highway near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
I'm on I-83 heading from Harrisburg down toward York to meet up with a crew. As I got off the turnpike, I had an interesting conversation with the man taking my money. It was $1.10 toll, and I said, wow, I'm from Atlanta, this is terrible. He goes, well, at least you're on the road. And I kind of stopped, and I looked at him, and I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you should hear the scanner traffic. There are so many cars off the road right now.
The height of the storm is expected to hit this evening. It's been a deadly day for NATO forces in Afghanistan. At least 13 U.S. troops were killed in a suicide bombing in Kabul Saturday. CNN's Nick Payton Walsh says another attack in Kandahar killed at least two more coalition troops.
NATO here deals with casualties like this on a fairly regular basis, though not really of this kind of scale or magnitude in one incident. Things will carry on, but bear in mind also this is one of a number of incidents that happened today, raising concerns of a flurry of violence perhaps ahead of a political season coming up in the month ahead.
A female suicide bomber killed two people and herself in eastern Turkey Saturday. The state-run Turkish news agency says 20 other people were hurt. Qantas Airline is grounded. Company officials halted operations Saturday in a dispute with labor unions. Richard Woodward is vice president of the Australian and International Pilots Union.
This is a complete overreaction, except on the part of the pilots, the only industrial action the pilots have taken in this entire process.
The lockout has stranded thousands of passengers. The city of St. Louis is savoring another World Series championship. The Cardinals beat Texas 6-2 in last night's Game 7. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. But we have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh, no, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We the real people got a lot out of our cars this summer, so now it's time to put a little back in.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center this Friday and Saturday. It's Fall Car Care Month, the perfect time to gear up with conventional Valvoline oil change, air filter, multi-pin inspection, and tire rotation, all for just $34.98 with coupon. And save even more with our biggest rebate savings ever on four Goodyear and Dunlop tires. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real confidence for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Offer and dates vary from 10/29 to 12/3. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's her first recital. Don't let the flu ruin it. Shield yourself with a quick and easy Rite Aid flu shot for just $27.99. They're covered by most insurance plans, available without an appointment, and come with a coupon book worth $100 in savings. So get your flu shot at any Rite Aid, anytime, and make sure you get that front row seat. That's the value of wellness. Quantities limited and available during pharmacy hours only. No purchase necessary for coupon book. See store for details or visit RiteAid.com/flu.
You want to walk home to school? Well, I said, yes, I do. She said, I don't have to go right home, and I'm a kind of like to be alone. So if you will, I said, me too. And so we took the stroll, wound up down by the swimming hole. She said, do what you want. And I said, this frog for you.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. We got a gorgeous Halloween weekend here. It's sunny skies today, high at 75. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, low of 49 with light winds. And Sunday, sunny skies, high of 75. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Monterey Bay is going to be northeast winds, 5 knots, becoming northwest this afternoon. The wind waves will be less than 2 feet. We're going to have a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 12 seconds. And tonight, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming northeast after midnight, and wind waves 1 to 3 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2, with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 11 seconds. Sunday out there, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet, with a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds. Current temperature, Salinas is at 57, 61 degrees in Watsonville, 52 in Monterey, and we're at 60 already here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, I have nothing to report at this time. 475-1080 if you see something out there. The official time is 11:06 and 29 seconds on this Saturday, October 29th. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Well, there's no traffic to report today. Well, I think we should just make something up. No, we won't do that. All right, welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special. It's pretty spicy. Pretty spicy. Stay with us.
But I really gotta go to KSCO Radio 5.
Okay, Nikki James, I believe we have a brand new K's commentary here to launch. So why don't we do that, and then we'll get back to our phone lines where nobody is waiting anyhow. So, but hopefully there will be people calling 479-1080 between now and then, because we have a lot to discuss here. All righty, so go ahead and we'll do the commentary.
Portions of the following K commentary were written in 2006 and appear in her book. Here is Kay's Whirling.
When I'm on the telephone and the operator says, for Spanish, press 1, and for English, press 2, it irritates me because I think that those who come to our country should learn to speak our language. It's easy for many Americans to feel wistful and envious after learning how the Australian government is now dealing with their immigration problems. If we had felt the same way 30 years ago, when political correctness clouded our viewpoint and inhibited us from speaking out about how we run our country, and if we had had more backbone instead of blind approval for diversity, we would be in better national shape now. We were so eager to make the newcomers feel welcome that we didn't see that we were diluting our own unique beliefs. We relinquished our precious standards to accommodate those with different beliefs, and now we are a discontented mess, and nobody is truly happy. Listen to the following and wonder, is it too late for us to assert our own American identity? This is called immigration common sense, and it was spoken by Prime Minister John Howard of Australia. Those people of different religions who come to our country were told recently to get out of Australia as the government targeted radicals in a bid to head off potential terror attacks. Immigrants, not Australians, must adapt, take it or leave it. We're tired of this nation worrying about whether we're offending some individual or their culture. Since the terrorists' attack on Bali, we've experienced a surge of patriotism by the majority of Australians. However, the dust from the attacks had hardly settled when the politically correct crowd again complained about the possibility that our patriotism was offending others. We're not against immigration, nor do I hold a grudge against anyone who's seeking a better life by coming to Australia. However, there are a few things that those who have recently come to our country need to understand. This idea of Australia being a multicultural community has served only to dilute our sovereignty and our national identity. As Australians, we have our own culture, our own society, our own language, and our own lifestyle. We speak mainly English, not Spanish, Lebanese, Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, Russian, or any other language. Therefore, if you wish to become part of our society, then learn the language. Most Australians believe in God. If God offends you, then I suggest you consider another part of the world as your new home, because God is part of our culture. We're happy with our culture and have no desire to change, and we really don't care how you did things where you came from. By all means, keep your culture, but do not force it on others. This is our country, our land, and our lifestyle, and we will allow you every opportunity to enjoy all of this. However, once you are done complaining, whining, and griping about our flag, our pledge, our beliefs, or our way of life, I highly encourage you to take advantage of one other great Australian freedom, the right to leave. We didn't force you to come here. You asked to be here. So, KSCO listeners, this gem speaks volumes for the fervent wishes of many, many Americans. I believe maybe it's not too late to take back our country and our own national language and our own civil religious beliefs, and only those willing to abide by them should stay, and the others should leave and go elsewhere. I know this is wishful thinking. Let's take back Christmas and the Ten Commandments and all our other national beliefs, and best of all, let's embrace Almighty God. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Wow. Wow. Hey, if you had a mom like Kay Swirling, wouldn't you be incredibly proud of her? I am. Yeah, thank you so much. We're hearing a little echo here. Welcome back to the KSCO Saturday Special. We're in hour number two. We have a guest here whose name is, you say a few things here.
The whistleblower.
Yeah, whistleblower. Okay, go ahead, whistleblower. You pretend like you're the host for about 30 seconds here while I deal with this echo.
All right. So I'm a little surprised that nobody wanted to really discuss this whole issue with regard to Bank of America and Chase transferring trillions of dollars worth of bad bets onto the American people. So, again, I'm not blowing the whistle on it. I'm amplifying the whistle. I didn't write these articles. I'm reading
Maybe
these articles.
Maybe we should call you the whistle amplifier.
Well, as you'll recall, we discussed it, but I knew people would be thinking, what the heck is a whistle amplifier?
Yeah. All righty. Well, for right now, I want to put in a plug for my mom's book. We have many, many copies of I bought in anticipation that we would sell thousands of books for Kay's commentaries. I bought quite a number of them. Okay, and that's the quality. Of writing that you get if you buy Kay's book. And if you buy Kay's book, and it's real easy to buy, you just go to ksco.com, scroll down, it's on the right, click here to buy Kay's book. It's only $24.95, and it's a hardcover book. Every once in a while, Kay is at CO during the Saturday special, where people can come down and bring copies of their book or buy copies of their book and have it personally inscribed by Kay. And what I need to say is that buying Kay's book really helps support KSCO and support all our broadcasts and support all our original content and support being live and local. So I cannot stress important enough, and don't do this for charity. I mean, if you want to, it's fine. Charity begins at home, right? But do it because it's something that you will treasure. It's a wonderful book, and holiday seasons is coming up. You should buy half a dozen copies or something. Buy as many as you can afford. Every time you do that, they make great gifts, and every time you do that, it helps the radio station. Go to KSCO.com and buy Kay's book. For KSCO, I'm Kay's Whirling. Also, while you're at KSCO.com, I think you should click on reservations for the upcoming November 8th lecture from pharmacist Ben Fuchs, who is one of the most charismatic speakers you will ever hear. He has a program called The Bright Side that is broadcast nationwide live. We carry it on KOMY AM 1340 each weekday between 8:06 a.m. and 9 a.m. You know, I suppose you could listen to Good Morning Monterey in one ear and Pharmacist Ben in the other ear, but it's definitely worth listening to. But if you want to see Ben live, it's an amazing experience, and I can't speak highly enough. And it's absolutely free. We want to fill up the hall. We've got seats for 400. I want the place to be jam packed, and the way that will happen is for you to go to KSCO.com and get your free reservations. Go to KSCO.com, and right up at the top, you'll see the pharmacist Ben Fuchs thing. In fact, I'm going to play a little ad that Ben did himself. Here, let's just play that here.
Hey, everyone. Pharmacist Ben here to invite you to a free lecture, an evening of health and wellness, Thursday, November 8th, 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church, 900 High Street, near the entrance of UCSC in Santa Cruz. It'll be free and fun and information-packed, and it'll be your opportunity to get some practical ideas and tips about how your body works, why you don't feel as well as you could, and what you can do to turn around any health challenge you're dealing with easily and immediately. You'll leave well-informed and back in control of your health. If you're frustrated with the tired old medical model of doctors and drugs and surgeries, and you want to learn a better way to take care of your body, spend an hour or two with me Thursday, November 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church, 900 High Street in Santa Cruz. And make sure you check out The Bright Side, my daily nutrition program, 8 a.m. weekdays, Monday through Friday on KOMY 1340 a.m. Take care, everyone, and I'm looking forward to seeing you Thursday, November 8th, 7 p.m. at the First Congregational Church in Santa Cruz.
Except that it's not First Congregational Church, it's First Congregational Church, but that's okay. Definitely worth going to, and we're gonna correct that. Let's see, we do have callers. Oh my gosh, we're almost jam packed with callers here. That's great. Welcome back. We'll get back into the meat of the program here with Whistleblower. Let's go to our. I'm gonna go to take next here, and next I guess will be RC and Aptos. Hey RC, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hey fellas, thank you. As far as who'd you just say there was acting out here, Bank America?
Well, them and Chase.
But as far as people not interested in that, you know, that's why the Tea Party and the Occupy movements, essentially, from what I could see, were formed, was because of the excesses of crooked bankers. And we may not know the particularities, but essentially that's why those two movements were formed. I see a great opportunity here to change our system. I would love to see the leaders of the Tea Party, the grassroots leaders, not the people who have been co-opted by the Republican Party, and the leaders of the Occupy movement call for a constitutional convention to change our system in such a way that the bankers and the lobbyists and the consulting community doesn't have access to our leaders. Because as long as if we have the same system, we may change things for an election cycle or two, but as long as we have a corrupt system, they're taking us down this path eventually again. And I don't even know if we're going to get off this path, but with our leadership and the structure that we have for choosing our representatives, they're taking us down the road to, well, I could see, endless war and endless debt. And this is a great opportunity, I think, for the leaders of both movements to combine, call for a conventional, constitutional convention, change the system. I could care less which way it goes, Republican, Democrat, conservative, or liberal. As long as it's fair, I don't mind letting the chips fall where they may.
Have you come to the conclusion, like me, that if we don't change it from the outside, that it probably is not going to make much difference to any of us, whether it's Democrat, Republican, conservative, or liberal? It's going to be the same basic agenda.
Well, you have to know what to change it. You have to know how to change it. And the only way that I understand how to change it, you need a constitutional convention. That's how to change it from the outside. It's not going to change inside the Beltway.
We're all on the same page there. And I think, although, you know, like you say, a portion of the Tea Party has clearly been just co-opted by certain people, including the Koch brothers, who are really just interested in, you know, selling as much oil as possible, petrochemicals. But I'm sure there is probably a big base, a grassroots portion of the Tea Party movement. I bet you they would find that they have a lot of the same gripes and concerns, because I'm here to tell you the Occupy movement is not a Democratic movement. Man, there is people from every walk of life, you know, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives. And I think that the sooner we realize that we, the people, we don't need to divide ourselves into Democrat and Republican. We actually agree on probably a lot more than we disagree on. Who wants to see more war? Who wants to see more killing? I don't think that many people want to see that. Who wants to see the banks just run roughshod over the taxpayer and, you know, take terrible risks as bubbles are being formed to make tons of money? And when the bubbles pop, the people get evicted from their homes and lose their homes, and the people at the top of the banking industry just continue to collect money from the government on the way down. So I think we're going to find that there's really – I love your idea of seeing where the common ground is with the Tea Party and the Occupy movement, because I think you'd find that there's probably a lot more in common there than people may realize.
Hey, R.C., thanks for calling the Saturday special. Okay, that was R.C. If you want to give us a call, it's 479-1080 in area 831, or you can email mz@ksco.com. Have a good number of emails that I will be reading shortly. But right now, let's take our next caller. That will be Ann and Bonnie Doon. Ann, you're on KSCO.
Hi, thanks. I want to reiterate what our last caller just said and say that the Tea Party and the Occupy movement really have a lot more in common. I think the division, people are trying to say, oh, those Tea Partiers or oh, those Occupy people are divided. Those are the people that stand the most to gain from it. It's the powerful people, the people with big money, are trying to divide the two groups. They're really just the same people. It's we the people. And the only candidate who's running for office, and I'm sorry to disagree with you about Kane, because he's Fed. He just reestablishes that revolving door straight into the White House, from the Fed into the White House. That doesn't sound like a good plan.
He did work for the Fed, come to think of it, huh?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and Romney. Romney, too. But the only guy who stood behind his ground in all the years that he's been elected official, and don't tell me he's unelectable, is Ron Paul. He's been elected.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think he is electable. I really do.
Yeah, I'd like to have Gandalf in office.
Who?
So anyway, just unite. We the people. That none of this division.
You'd like to have who in
empty.
Office?
Yeah, who?
Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, I said some other name like Gandalf. I said, who's that?
Yeah, he reminds me of Gandalf. But anyway, sorry about that. MZ, I have to scold you. If you've got hosts on there that are calling for any kind of shenanigans, violence or division on the people, really seriously, that's your responsibility, sweetheart. You can't do this. You can't have.
So I should fire Brad Cava immediately, because is that what you're saying?
Well, it's your responsibility, and it's the karma.
I asked you a direct question. I asked you, did you hear the broadcast, and did you hear exactly what Brad Cava said? Did you hear him say, I advocate people to go out there and get violent and kill everybody that they disagree with? I didn't hear him say that.
You know, the most disturbing part of that.
I wish you would answer my question. I wish you would answer my question, Ann. Please answer this question directly. You've scolded me. I will respectfully take your scolding. But I want to ask you respectfully this question. And I've asked it before, and you haven't answered it. I'm going to ask it again. Do you want me to fire Brad Cava immediately? Do you want me to fire Brad Cava, yes or no?
Yes. Yes, I've said
and
that.
The reason? But, And the reason?
The reason is how distressed Corey Gould was when he got off the air from talking with him, saying that he felt like he needed a restraining order. He didn't say that. Anyway, so that's all.
Okay.
But thank you. Yeah, Ron Paul.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
I have a lot to think about firing Brad Cava. Because if I were to fire Brad Cava, what about all the people who love Brad Cava? They would think I did a terrible thing.
Well, if I understood correctly, I don't think he's saying that people should take up arms and start the killing. But I think he is saying that he fears if there's not some bloodshed, nothing will happen.
I heard him say very clearly on this program, because he called this program.
He said that they won't listen until there's blood in the streets.
Yeah.
That is true. He did say that.
And that's what he said. That's all I heard. And I don't think that's an offense that makes me responsible for having the radio station broadcast stuff that shouldn't be broadcast. I don't think that's irresponsible.
And where I disagree with Brad, I don't think that we need to talk about the violence yet. But what I would like to see is, instead of 3,000 or 4,000 people at Occupy Oakland, I'd like to see 100,000 people, and I'd like to see that in every city.
What about tonight? What's happening tonight? Anything?
Yeah, there's stuff going on all day out there.
Maybe I'll go.
It should be a fascinating experience for you.
Are you going to go?
Well, maybe we should make a day of it.
Okay. All righty. Thanks. So our next caller, by the way, our phone number is 479-1080 in area 831. Please give us a call and join in the fray here. Our special guest today is the whistleblower. We're originating from KSCO North, which is very close to Berkeley. And want to hear from you. Next caller, John in Santa Cruz. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, John.
Hello? Hey, John. Yeah, we're on. I listen
to the show, and I believe you should fire the guy. I think it was outrageous what he said. Just terrible. He told him to call for arms like during the British Revolution. The American Revolution, fighting the British. When we fought the British, we didn't have a vote. We have a vote now. We have a ballot box.
But remember, I'd just like to point something out to you. When we started this country and we put that Constitution together, it said that, you know, we take it that all men are created equal and they have certain inalienable rights to the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I'd like to point out the key word in that sentence was all men. And to be more specific, it was all white men and all rich white men that owned property. So if you were brown, if you were black, if you were yellow, or just poor...
You know, things changed over the course of 200 years, please.
They've improved. There's been improvement.
And I know slavery was still there, too.
Yes,
but we have a ballot box. Look at what the Tea Party accomplished by the ballot box in just 2 years.
Yeah, that's pretty
amazing. Things have improved. I'm not suggesting that they haven't. Things have improved.
You can change this country without taking up arms, my friend.
I'm not advocating for that. I hope you understand that. I referred Brad Cava to Gandhi. I mentioned Gandhi. That's who I want to look to.
Yeah, well, the guy's an idiot.
Were you listening to the show?
Yes, I listened.
Wait. Let me ask you a question here.
Go ahead.
John in Santa Cruz. I assume you were listening to the show with
Corey
Gold, and then he pitches. He has Brad, or the next host from What's Left On, usually for the last 10 minutes of his show. And it was during that 10 minutes that Corey, I know, was shocked and horrified that Brad seemed to be advocating violence. And when he pinned him to the wall on that, I think Brad sort of, you know, got a little more reasonable and said, actually, I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just saying that when violence is the only thing that people will understand.
And I couldn't disagree with him more.
That's not correct.
But because of that, I should pull the plug on Brad Cava.
Absolutely. You're not stating, he should be put in jail for that. He was absolutely advocating violence. When he came on your show about 10 minutes ago, he was totally lying about what he said. That's not what he said.
Oh, okay.
Go back and listen.
Well, that's real easy for us to do. We can grab a copy of that.
Yeah,
maybe we'll
absolutely.
Do that. Maybe we'll do
absolutely.
That and play that replay that.
Yeah, I didn't hear the show. I only heard the few minutes I spoke to him. So.
Can I say one more thing here?
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Listen, you know, this society, our society and the democratic society and capitalism has worked very well for all the time to bring us, to bring people up, to help the poor, to help the sick. What's going on right now, if they had not spent all this money and got us in this huge deficit, we'd have $500 billion a year, and we could take care of all the poor and sick people if we didn't have to pay interest to China and these other countries that are lending us money. $500 billion. We could be paying.
John, you make a lot of sense. I'm so happy you called the Saturday special on KSCO.
Yeah, and I'll be up to your, I'll come up to your thing at the Congregational Church. That sounds
hey, fun. Great. Yeah, be sure to go to KSCO.com and click on reservations.
Okay, so thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Bye-bye. Thank you. That was John in Santa Cruz. Our next caller will be Downtown Al. Hey,
hey guys. Great show. Hey, you know, from what I heard from Brad Cava, I don't think he was advocating for violence. But, you know, I wasn't privileged to hear the discussion between him and Corey Gold. But I am surprised that you guys didn't call him on him when he said that it's always been conservatives who have killed the liberals. You know, he's ignoring the French Revolution.
Well, I did.
Okay. Well, I want to repeat it. He's ignoring the French Revolution. He's ignoring the Bolshevik uprising, you know, and eventual communist takeover in both Russia and also in China.
Can I just interrupt real quick? Can I just ask you this? Because I bet you I can get some consensus here. We can all discuss what the best way to accomplish some change is, but what I think we can all probably agree we have in common with Mr. Brad Cava, and I bet you feel the same way, is you're looking at what's going on around you, you're mad as hell, and you don't want to take it anymore.
No, I think you're talking about the right thing. The Gandhian approach is the way to do it. There's no doubt about that. It has to be a peaceful thing, but it has to be forceful, and Brad might be right that it is going to result in some violence, and hopefully it'll be on, you know, the other side that's doing that.
You always take the moral high ground when you just take the rubber bullets and the canisters to the head and carry your wounded off and don't lash out. And that is what happened. I was so proud of Oakland. I was so proud of those people. They could have lashed out. They could have charged the police, and it could have been horrendous. But they showed restraint. And that is a beautiful thing, and you have the moral high ground when you do that. It doesn't make you look good when you're beating up on people and they're not striking back.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. However, Brad Cava reminds me of how we need a paradigm shift, and I think a lot of callers have brought that in, that the Tea Party and their complaints against government need to get together with the Occupy people, because we're getting screwed from both ends. Government as well as corporations.
The problem is, how do we get the part of the Tea Party that's not funded by billionaire petrochemical industry people? How do you get the grassroots section of it? Because so far the Occupy movement has not been co-opted by some kind of massive corporate entity yet.
That's where you're making a mistake, because you don't know that for a fact. You know that every time there's a protest, there's certain people in there who maybe don't belong in there or are co-opting it, okay? I've been at certain protests. For example, I think we need to control our borders to a certain extent. And it's not because I'm a racist or anything like that. It's just that we can't let the country degenerate to where there won't be a place for liberals or conservatives to work things out. You have to have controlled immigration. Well, I went to some of these things, and there were a bunch of, like, white supremacists who showed up, okay?
At what?
Wait a minute, let me finish.
Just tell me where. At the Tea Party things?
No, this has nothing to do with the Tea Party and has nothing to do with the Occupy people. This was a, I can't remember who initially did it. It was a Minuteman-based type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Some of those people were there. But, you know, there happen to be black Americans and there happen to be Hispanic Americans as well as whites and Asians, okay, that were protesting how our borders are open, okay? Mm-hmm. Some of these white supremacists showed up. They were forced out of the group, okay? So you're going to have all sorts of people showing up to that want to do their own thing, and you don't necessarily have to agree with them or anything like that.
Sure.
So I'm sure with both groups. It's just that that's the nature of the whole thing. The point I'm trying to make is there needs to be a paradigm shift in this country to where both sides realize that they're fighting for the same thing and that the government's a problem and the corporations are a problem and that they're oppressing the people. And that's what I believe is really the grassroots movement.
Okay.
There's going to be people trying to co-opt that and manipulate it in other ways, and that's what we need to be aware of. And that's
down,
what the paradigm shift is going to be about.
I want to thank you.
And you know, I just want to say one thing. I have a prediction for you. If Obama dares...
You mean the
attempt.
Black Bush? You know, I called him the Black
you.
Bush.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great name
because,
for him.
You know, he is another example of a privileged person who probably doesn't really deserve to be where he is. One was a white kid who had got bad grades, and because he had a rich mommy and daddy or whatever who'd been well-placed, he got into that position. And I think the same goes for Obama. I didn't vote for the guy. I didn't vote for Bush either.
Well, I voted for Obama, but I'll tell you, if I predict if he tries to co-opt this Wall Street movement, he's going to find out that people are not happy with him. If he thinks he can co-opt this movement, he's going to have
a rude
surprise.
Listen, guys, we have so many calls.
Okay.
We want to get to
good
all
show.
Right. Thank you, Downtown Al. Here comes da, 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 da. Oh, Don.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Salinas. You're on the air.
Hi, Don.
Hi, yeah, well, I want to say about the Occupy Wall Street, mainly Oakland, and Brad Kava. Brad Kava did not advocate violence. What he did was what typical liberals do, like what your guest does. The liberals pretend to hate violence, to hate hatred, until it happens within their own ranks, and then they either rationalize it or they completely deny it, which Brad has done both, and which your guest has done with the Occupy Oakland people. He wants 100,000 people to go to Oakland. Well, those 3,000 mean, rude, nasty, lawless people were throwing rocks and bottles at the policemen, and it was probably some of their debris that hit that Iraq war veteran and put him in the hospital.
Don and Selena could be right.
Watch the video.
I watched the video, and I watched those mean, nasty people. And I also watched throughout the weeks beforehand of them being rude, them assaulting people, openly doing drugs, creating a filthy spot in the city and not caring about
so,
it.
Oh, so you've been there. You've been down there then? Because I didn't see any filth. Did you? You've been down there?
Oh, you didn't see the rats?
The rats.
That, you know, I didn't actually go up to Oakland,
sorry,
but I saw the videos of the rats. Now, if you go on YouTube with all the lefty
the rats,
of it, where you're all sitting
this
around
guy's out of his mind.
No, was that a kind thing to say, whistleblower?
First of all, he's painting a broad brush. I can see that he has certain assumptions about liberals. They all say this. He probably has a lot of things. He could paint a lot of broad brushes about different racial groups. It seems like that's
demagogue,
the vibe.
Oh, demagogue me, why don't you? Yeah, demagogue me. Talk about a broad brush. Hey, it's real.
No, I'm
it's
talking
real.
About you. You're the one painting broad brushes against liberals and... just as a very broad, I'm talking to you, my friend. I'm not painting any broad brushes. I have a lot of common ground.
I'm talking to you also. You're going to deny that there's anti-Semitism in that movement. You're going to deny that there's filthy, lawless,
let's
immoral
see.
People.
I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish, my friend. There's no anti-Semitism down there. Just come down and see it for your own eyes, my friend. Don't believe. I don't know where you're getting your information. I've been there for the last 3 days, okay? I see who's down there. There's no filth. There's no rats running around. There's no, it's just bizarre with these assertions you're making.
There's a lot of pretty people petting unicorns up there, isn't there? Yeah, that's what we're all
can
supposed
we get
to believe.
Can we get an intelligent person to talk to us? Let's talk to somebody.
Oh, now I'm stupid? I didn't call you a name.
That was wrong.
Name,
I just
the whistleblower is apologizing.
I'm apologizing. I got carried away, but I'm just the tenor of your discussion. It's so insulting when you start in on the rats. I mean, it's just let's just find somebody that has something constructive that can add to this.
Hey, he did apologize to you, Don.
That's your nature. Don, you know, he did apologize to you,
but he still wants me to.
I still want to get somebody else that can just have a meaningful conversation, discussion of rats.
Yeah, you want somebody to. You want someone to agree with you. That's all you want.
Okay. No. I want somebody to be respectful. I want someone to disagree and be respectful about it. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Don. It's Salinas. Our next caller is going to be none other than Frank in Salinas. Frank in Salinas.
Oh, thank you, MZ. Thank you. The problem is not our system, in my humble opinion. The problem is it's uninterested citizens. Most people, you know the thing. They're more interested in Facebook and all that crap. Go to hillsdale.edu, listen to the free lectures, and fall in love with the Constitution before you want to change it. All right? The Occupy movement... it's the French Revolution all over again. They're a godless group. Now, you're right. I ought to go down there and check it out because I'm relying on the mainstream media, and you know how crappy that is.
I don't know how you could make that assertion. I was there, and I couldn't even tell you who believes in God or what God they believe in.
Will you extend a courteous invitation to Frank and Salinas to join you today at the...
I'm sorry, was that the last guy or this guy?
This guy.
Yeah, come on down. Check it out.
Well, it would be because he's in Salinas.
Come on up north. I think you will find there's a wide cross-section. There's people in suits. There's people in, there's a sort of what we describe as a hippie contingent. There's a wide cross-section. There's middle-class elderly women. I mean, it cuts across every racial group, and I'm sure every religious group as well.
Anybody who has a hand up. I don't think I can go there. I can't keep my mouth shut, and I'd probably get the crap beat out of me. So, I don't think so.
Well, if you're happy, look, what you want, I guess, you're happy that we're giving the handouts to Bank of America and Chase? Is that who you think deserve the handouts?
I understand they paid that money back, according to Bob Brinker, my financial expert.
Wake up. Go ahead and do a search for the following. Go to...
I opened my account with Monterey County Bank, a local bank.
Oh, so we have that in common then. You do realize that we need to break up these giant banks. So that we have.
I agree.
Even you and I, who may disagree on a lot of things, I think we're going to find there's a lot more common ground when we really break it down than the media would have us believe, that we're all divided into Democrats and Republicans. That's how they like to have us believe, when in actual fact... Not to say, even within the Democratic Party or within the Republican Party, everybody doesn't believe in the same thing. There's Democrats that probably are not pro, that are pro. There's both Democrats and Republicans that may or may not follow the party line on being pro-life or whatever.
I just met one who doesn't care for Obama. You.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot more common ground there than difference. I think if you went down there to see what was going on and just recognized that... what's happening, if you really do the research, my friend, you're going to find that the big banking interests were making radical risks and had tons of fraudulent practices. And as the bubble built, they made tons of money. And on the way down, they have their hands out. One quick thing, I'll let you say something. The student debt just hit $1 trillion. It just surpassed... It just surpassed credit card debt.
Sitting on billions of dollars.
If we can break off all these trillions of dollars for Bank of America, why couldn't we just break off a trillion for the students and just say, hey, you guys can't get a job. We're just going to wipe away some debt. We're just going to throw it down a rat hole for Bank of America.
That's what Obama wants to do to get reelected.
Throw away student debt? No, yeah, he's not. He's just lowering the terms. You only have to pay 10% of your income. He's made it a tiny bit easier.
It won't work, because the same reason I bought my kids lift tickets, season passes. Well, we go skiing. They go, let's say I go skiing. They didn't use it. They didn't value it. Then I said, I'm not buying you lift tickets, season passes this year. You buy your own. They bought their own. You know what? They're eager to go.
You need to trade your kids in. They're ingrates.
Okay, no, they're not.
Thank you.
They just need to pay their own way.
Okay, all right, good.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Frank. And Salinas. Our next caller is Millie in Aptos. Millie, are you going to be voting for your friend Obama?
There's no other choice.
Okay.
Well, they can win.
I know, it's ugly.
No, you're right. You're right. He can and he will win. I think you're right.
Well, there's no other choice. I think a lot of your right-wing callers, there have been a few, but not as many as usual, they know that Obama inherited absolute truth, the worst mess in our history. And I'm not going to get on that now because there's something else I want to talk about. I'm anticipating your question, should you fire or give a hard time to
Brad Cava?
Brad, no. I think he got carried away and everything he said was misinterpreted. However, Brad knows that we have to use other means, such as mass demonstrations.
Maybe Brad will call back again. Maybe Brad can call back again. There's one or two open lines now. Brad, you should call back again.
I'm not finished.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, you've had people on for 10 minutes. Okay. Brad knows that the demonstrators and the people cannot fight the combined forces of the Army, Navy, Marines, Sheriff's Departments. There's no way we're going to overturn this mess except through demonstrations. And the other reason I'm calling you is because I want to thank you for having your 2-4 programming Monday through Friday. You're bringing in a whole new class of callers, which you did not have before, for obvious reasons.
The most intelligent audience, and hence the most intelligent callers of any station. You're just saying we have more of that, right?
Well, I don't believe you've always had them. Anybody that listens to Limbaugh day after day, and you know, okay, you've had some marvelous shows on. But I don't include Limbaugh among them.
Do you think we should fire Limbaugh?
No, because you would lose money. but he's not. There's a certain element out there that thinks he's great, and they're okay. Forget it. I lost my train of thought. Now don't hang up on me. Okay, you've had these wonderful shows carrying coast to coast, the agriculture. Show with Olson, wonderful Saturday special, among the absolute best. But then, before you had the 2 to 4 segment, there was almost nothing except the ones I just mentioned.
Yeah.
And look what happens at 4:00. All of your new callers off goes KSCO because we've got a guy on that's playing 1920s music. And is an arch conservative on for 2 or 3 hours. So,
do you think we should fire Charlie then, Millie?
No, I just think that he shouldn't be on so long because I think the station is losing
what do you think we should do with Charlie? You don't think we should fire him? Do you think we should cut him down to 1 hour instead of 3 or what?
If you can find out that you have enough listeners and they're supporting his advertisers, keep him on. But it's not elevating your station to have him on. But if it's good for your station financially, keep him on.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you. And thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Weighing in. And thanks for the kind words about the Saturday special. No one ever compliments the Saturday special.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, how could they not?
Well,
when I never listened to anything else other than Coast to Coast and Olson, I always listen to Charlie's Saturday special. It's the best. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. You take care now. There goes Millie. Who's next here? Anonymous. Oh, no, John in Santa Cruz. John, you're on the air.
Hello.
You have an anonymous phone. You don't allow people to see your phone number. Now, people are going to have to reveal their phone numbers because they know who we are, and we want to know who they are. It's only fair.
Okay. It's not a problem. I will do that in the future.
Okay. Now, John, you were on earlier, right? You wanted to add something?
No. This first time calling in today.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
I just wanted to kind of chime in on the whole thing and say that I listened to Brad Kava's program, and I did not hear him actually advocate violence. I heard him say that it was the violence in the peace movement of the 60s and the civil rights movement of the 60s that brought about the action by the authorities and the government. And that's pretty much what I took from what he said. I didn't actually hear him actually call for outright violence. I don't think you ought to take him off there.
No.
But I do think you ought to maybe consider putting somebody like Mike Malloy on your station so you can hear him I understand that, but you can hear him go on about how all Republicans are cockroaches and how they ought to be exterminated. And then maybe your guest will change his opinion about how no left wing has ever considered harming anyone. And which is a
Mike Malloy is about the most caustic, you know, human that I've ever heard.
That was Brad Kava that was saying that. That wasn't me.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So anyhow, thank you.
Can I comment Just comment.
Go ahead. We got a
sure. Yeah. Okay. I think that a big part of the problem was not Reagan. It was the deregulation that was pushed by the Bush backing of his administration. And I hear all these conspiracy theorists go on and on about how, you know, there's this big cabal and all this stuff, but nobody makes an issue about how Reagan was shot by the son of a good friend of George Bush. Nobody ever makes a connection there.
That's true. That is a fact. And I'm aware of that, too.
Reagan was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful
He was a great president, but you know what? He was co-opted, and he was co-opted early in his presidency, and a lot of the things that occurred, the whole deregulation program is what's led up to this big bank heist that we're going through right now.
Okay.
And the government, we need a government to give us common sense regulation. That's what they're there for. That's what we pay them for.
Okay.
They're not going to do their job. What do we need them for?
We're getting to the end of the program. I want to thank you, John, for calling. Please call again. Here's our next caller, Billy Sunshine. You're on, Bill.
Well, first of all, Saturday special is appointment radio. Let's not kid ourselves. Mike.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'm always listening, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
There you go. So I want to talk to the rat expert who was on a few calls earlier. Don't go down. You know, you suggested that somebody suggested he actually go down there. No, don't go down there. We will do the following to you. We will take a dump on you. We will take a number one on you. We will have sex with you. We will throw trash on you. What else? You know, it's a test. You know, it's a Rorschach test, what people see in this movement. You know, the people who see rat. And by the way, you really should fire Brad, of course. You know what it was? Corey had an overreaction to what Brad said. That's what was going on. Brad said that, you know, sometimes it takes violence. What I then corrected or tried to tell Corey the next day was the violence comes not from us, actually, but the overreaction of cops always. Okay, it's a cop riot.
Thank you.
Let me see if I can do something real quick here. Let me see if I can do it. Hold it, Billy.
Okay.
Let me see here.
We have the rat guy on?
Yeah, I want to see if I could get... wait a minute. I wanted to see if I could call Corey. See, I have his secret number.
Ah.
I wanted to see if Corey would get on and just get his take about what happened there. Let me try.
But you know.
Okay. Let's see if we can do this here. Call. Here. Let's see if it's. Okay.
Yeah, I had to get rid of Rat Man. I just felt it wasn't elevating the conversation any to just was so absurd.
Well, he's you know,
Corey, Dr. Corey Gold. We're on the air here on the Saturday special. We're talking about you behind your back and Brad Cava. And it's running like 3-1 that Brad Cava should be fired because of he supposedly advocated violence on your program. Now, what do
fire
you
him!
Well, he did advocate violence, but that doesn't mean that...
No, he didn't.
You know, in a five-minute segment, we encapsulate all that's Brad Cava.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what do you say here? Because you were the host, you're the person who reacted. You had a very, very strong reaction to whatever he did say.
Oh, well, absolutely. He went on. He started by saying he 100% disagreed with everything that I stand for, and that, of course, that the only way to get real change is for violence. So I would say, well, who do you want violence against? I would say the people he 100% disagrees with, but. In saying that, I'd give Brad an opportunity to explain himself on air.
Oh, he did. He called the Saturday special, and I thought he did a good job. But there are still people who absolutely insist that he be fired. And by the way, the whistleblowers here.
I was hoping you'd had a chance to research what I was discussing, which you were so incredulous of yesterday. There are stories now in the New York Post, San Francisco Chronicle, Business Week, San Francisco Business Times, Bloomberg.
By the way, most of those articles, if you do read them, are the exact same article, just reprinted in different places.
That's not true. You didn't read the whole article there. There are certainly some sections. That's not true. That's not true. I read all the articles. That's not true.
Let's not get into
it. I'm hanging up now because this is not a conversation. I'll talk to you later.
There goes Corey.
Well, you know, obviously he only read a tiny fraction and wanted to make an assertion that was just not true.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Corey's a little sensitive on this issue.
Yeah, well, what is he? I don't get it.
He's our noontime host.
No, I know that, but I'm just trying to think. Why is he defending the banks? What is this?
I don't know. But
he may stand alone. Even
he's
going
to be
alone.
He didn't like hearing the word violence. He overreacted to hearing the word violence out of Brad's mouth.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. So here's Suzette in Monterey. Hi, Suzette. You're on the air.
Hey, MZ. Great program. Thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you.
I think what's happening with the Occupy people is really a spinoff from End the Fed, and that the banking crisis that one of your callers did actually suggest started with Reagan deregulation, as his presidency was co-opted by members of the Council on Foreign Relations, is very real and cannot be overlooked. We have to start thinking like Americans and stop thinking like liberals or conservatives. Read the Constitution, understand why it is the only document in the world that allows average people to have sovereignty, to be free. That's what we're really fighting for. And if we start splitting hairs on how to handle this banking crisis, these guys are tyrants. Not one of them has been arrested. Not one of them has charges brought up against them, not by the Obama administration and not by Bush. And it won't happen unless we get Ron Paul in the White House. And he is electable. He's been elected 12 times to Congress. He has a fabulous platform at ronpaul2012.com. And I invite everyone, Democrats and Republicans alike, to start thinking like Americans.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's see. We have one or two other callers here. Here's something. Here's an email from Mark Fogel. Michael, I am sorry to say that there are two reasons for firing Brad. Firstly, he put the station and its staff at risk by advocating violence. Secondly, comes on, many regular KSCO listeners change the station or turn off their radios. I don't believe in censorship. Sounds like he does to me. But I do believe we don't have to tolerate fools. Mark Fogel. Okay, thank you, Mark. Let's see here. I'm trying to, unable to reach Gmail. So, let's see. Let's go back to the phone lines here Anonymous. Oh, no, this is Margaret. Hi, Margaret. Go ahead.
Hi, MZ. Yeah. Occupy Wall Street is pro-peace. And, MZ, although you're a pro-peace broadcaster, you still poison your audience with the globalist Fox News, the costist.
No, no, the Fox News is gone. Fox News is gone.
Good
we,
for you.
We dumped Fox News.
Costist,
they're gone forever, and they're not coming back.
Costist anti-constitution report, the Valley Girl lingo, Corey Gold, Rush Limbaugh. You know, I know a guy who had his father forward him, his son, his inheritance of $200,000 to buy a home, and he lost his home. He lost all his inheritance, and now he is homeless, and that's what the banksters designed. Enron took $84,000 of my handicapped uncle's retirement. He lost it all, and that's what these protesters of the lawless thieves of Wall Street and banksters are protesting against. And they are looting the cops. They are going to loot. They are looting the military.
Margaret, God, and I wish we had longer to have you on, but we don't. That's the end of the program. Hey, whistleblower, thanks for being on. I want to have you on again. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight or on demand at KSCO.com.
Thanks for having
me. After Monday. This is your favorite radio station, KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Oh, golly. I didn't leave enough time for That's All, Folks. I'll just say That's All, Folks. Here's CNN.
CNN Radio. I'm Stan Case. Leading the news, a suicide bomber struck in Afghanistan's capital city Saturday. A U.S. military official says 13 Americans were killed in the attack. NATO's International Security Assistance Force never confirms nationalities, but does say 8 ISAF civilians and 5 ISAF troops were killed. CNN's Nick Payton Walsh has more.
It appears the main target was what's known as a Rhino armored bus. These are large, heavily armored vehicles that ferry substantial numbers of NATO personnel around Kabul and other cities in Afghanistan. This was hit, and that's where the majority of the casualties were killed. 4 Afghans also in the vicinity killed, 2 school children, a civilian on his motorbike, and also a policeman.
If you've got travel plans in the air in the mid-Atlantic or northeast, you best check ahead with your airline. An early season snowstorm is disrupting travel across the region. Forecasters expect it to become even more treacherous with nightfall. Cammy Land works at a restaurant in the mountain town of Terre Alta, West Virginia. There's about a foot of snow on the ground there.
It's slushy. Like, our parking lot is, you know, slushy. It's a very heavy, wet snow.
Australia's pilots union accuses Qantas airline officials of a maniacal overreaction. The company grounded its aircraft Saturday because of a labor dispute. The world is getting more crowded. The United Nations says the global population will reach 7 billion on Monday. Jeffrey Sachs with the Earth Institute says it's out of control in some places.
The big problem is that in the poorest countries, families are still having 6, 7, or 8 children.
Earth's population grew from 6 to 7 billion in just 12 years. Some major banks are having second thoughts about charging customers a monthly fee for debit card purchases. Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase are dropping the idea. Bank of America is looking at changes in the policy. This is CNN Radio.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're looking for an easier way to stick to your budget this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you can set up account alerts to help you stay on track. Alerts can be sent to your phone or email, so you'll know the moment you've reached the limits you set. And setting up account alerts is easy. Take comfort knowing you have the tools to stay on budget. Call, click, or stop by to learn more about account alerts. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
At Advance Auto Parts, we...
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast. Beautiful weekend. We got sunny skies today with high of 75, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 49, light winds. Sunday, sunny, high of 75, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And out on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming northwest this afternoon. The wind waves will be less than 2 feet. West swell 2 to 4 feet at 12 seconds. Tonight, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming northeast 5 knots after midnight. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2, with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 11 seconds. And Sunday, northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. The wind waves will be less than 2 feet and a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds. Current temperatures, Monterey is at 52 degrees. In Salinas, it is 64 degrees. And Watsonville's at 66. We're at 65 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. King of the Hill traffic update. One traffic hazard going on, and this is on Highway 17 northbound. And it's just south of La Madrona Drive. It looks like there's a box in between the lanes. CHP's on the scene taking care of that. So that's what I got for you. Now, if you see something out there that I missed, you can call me at 475-1080. The official time, 12:05 and 13 seconds on this Saturday, October 29th. Up next, Perspectives. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I am your host, and joining me in the studio as special guest hosts are Tom Quinn and David Smith, and our special in-house guest is Claudine
Desiree.
Desiree, thank you. And we also have a couple of other guests.